Welcome to Orchard Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the Orchard community.
Hi, friends. My name is Benjamin J. Thomas. Welcome to the Orchard Community's Digital Liturgy and Podcast for the week of February 11th, 2024. Welcome to the space, however you're joining us online. If you're watching us part of our digital liturgy today, live streaming, you might notice that the chat is extra quiet today. That's because there is a gathering of people happening at Society 57 in Aurora happening right at this very moment. But you and I, we are connected in this space together, so we are going to show up fully for each other and present with each other today. So to do that, we want to begin our time together with a call to presence. Just a simple acknowledgement that though we may be fragmented and scattered in the rest of our lives, oftentimes that's the state that we kind of perpetually live in. When we come to this space, we come with full presence and full intention to be here for each other, for ourselves, for showing up between us and God. I'm going to light a candle to help us signify that. If you're listening to the audio, all you're hearing is the little click of the candle lighting. And we light this to acknowledge divine presence in and within us and among us. Take a moment to settle in here. Close your eyes if it's helpful. And take a couple deep breaths to ease into this moment. Possibly the first time that you've taken intentional breaths today. Maybe even this whole week. Today we are wrapping up a series, a season of Epiphany, which has been all about these small little discoveries of God within and around us and in the scriptures and in our stories and in the earth and in our relationships. And today we show up with fully expectant hearts, fully expecting to receive. When we show up with that kind of expectation, I believe that God meets us there and honors that. So maybe make a commitment right now, just if you're placing your hand over your heart or taking a couple deep breaths, of just make that your prayer. God, I expect to see and experience and know you deeper today. Expect to know and see and experience and know you at a deeper level today. One of our values as a faith community is the value of wholeness. That is that you and I are connected, that there's no separation between us. There's also wholeness happening within our bodies. We often fragment ourselves. That's where a lot of illness even can come from. And through an acknowledgement of wholeness, we see our whole bodies as one system, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, all of that as interconnected. So we're going to take a moment and we're going to sing about that. We're going to sing a few different verses. And as you sing those, I invite you to bring into awareness all those parts that may be fragmented, separate. Allow for wholeness to take over. Do some healing work in the different parts of your mind, your heart, your spirit today. And let's sing together, Make Me Whole Again. To finally surrender ourselves to healing, we have to have three spaces opened up within us, and all at the same time. Our opinionated mind, our closed down heart, and our defensive and defended body.
Of life, make me whole, make me whole, make me whole. Hey, what's up, friends? I'm Scott Hodge, lead pastor of the Orchard Community. Thanks for joining us for our digital liturgy. Today is the last Sunday of this church season known as Epiphany. And it is a Sunday that bridges us from one church season to another. So where during Epiphany, we go from celebrating the miracles and the works of Jesus' life, we come into this season of Lent where we focus on Jesus' journey to the cross. And then right in the middle of both of those church seasons is this day, Transfiguration Sunday. That's today. And it is on this day that we turn to a very interesting and very quite mystical story, actually. The gospel writer Mark tells us Jesus and his small group of his closest friends and disciples had slipped away from the crowds, and they are heading up to the mountain to pray. Now, just keep in mind for a minute, these friends of Jesus, they have spent years following him around, listening to his teachings, witnessing his miracles. And so by the time that Jesus invites them to this mountaintop, they have pretty good reason to believe that they know this man, that they know their master, they know their leader, they know him as a teacher, they know him as a healer, as a storyteller, as a traveling companion. I mean, think about, someone you've spent a great deal of time around, right? You get to know everything from, and I'm sure this was the same with the disciples, everything from his mannerisms to his face to the things that are important to him, habits, maybe some annoying ones even, I'm sure, right? But they're all familiar to them. But then on the mountain, something quite unimaginable happens. Before their very eyes, Jesus changes, becoming both fully himself, but also fully strange. See, now their eyes were open to see not just Jesus the man, but Jesus the Christ, in his true appearance, standing alongside two of the greatest prophets of their faith. Now, there are so many interesting parts to the story, but this in my reading of the text this time around, one of the things that stuck out to me is what Mark writes at the very beginning of this account. Mark chapter 9, verse 2. This is how the whole thing starts out. You heard it already. But we're told that Jesus, this transfiguration moment took place 6 days later. That's one of the first things that he writes here in Mark chapter 9, 6 days later. So what's he talking about? What happened 6 days earlier? Well, Mark tells us in chapter 8, the chapter before this one, that Jesus and his disciples were ministering in some villages. And while all this was going down, Jesus asked them, "Hey guys, who do people say that I am?" And of course, a lot of answers were given. Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Some say you're one of the prophets. But Peter alone, by the way, responds and he says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Messiah." And it's here where Jesus goes on to tell his disciples, and he gives the disciples a picture of what's to come. And he says this, that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law, and that he would be killed, but that 3 days later he would be raised from the dead. So he tells them all of this, but he doesn't stop there, because he then turns to the crowd and he says something quite like, whoa, this is heavy, man. He says, "If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way too. You must take up your cross and follow me." And he goes on, he says, "If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it." And then he says, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul?" You see, Jesus is articulating what is probably one of the most, honestly, disturbing and difficult and yet most transformative messages of all. And that is that not only is Jesus being called to suffer, die, rise again, but that anyone who wishes to follow him must be willing to do the same. They must deny themselves, they must take up their cross daily and follow him. And so in some ways, it's like this transfiguration experience, this light, whatever you want to call it. It sort of acts as a kind of reassurance for Peter and James and John and for the rest of us, right? It's almost like Mark is saying, okay, it's time we make a turn toward Golgotha, the place of the skull, which means descending into the valley of the shadow of death. But fear not, because this astonishing, mysterious, mountaintop moment is a reminder of where all of this is headed, which is transformation, new life, resurrection. But first, there's a journey we must take to Jerusalem, to this place of suffering and death and resurrection, so that in walking with Jesus to his death, we might experience our own death, the death of our worst, most alienated false selves, the death of whatever it is that's causing us or keeping us from living as the people we've been created to be, so that we can be raised as glorious new selves, our truest selves with Christ. Friends, that is the ultimate truth of resurrection. And it's also what makes our faith such a beautiful and hope-filled faith, really. I mean, because it's a faith that tells us that the promise of resurrection is not just a promise to Jesus 2,000 years ago, but it is also a promise to us and ultimately to all of creation. Life, death, resurrection. Friends, this is not just a Bible truth. This is a universal truth. It is how nature works. It is how the world works. It's how everything works. Life, death, resurrection. It is never just about life, nor is it ever just about death. It is always about both. It's about both life and death, and new life and rebirth, both life and death. So, on a very personal level, I think what this means for you and I in our lives, well, it means that things like pain and grief and sorrow and loss and failure and brokenness and tragedy, as painful as those things are, they at the same time cannot and will not have the last word in our lives or in our world. So this is why, you know, Easter truly should be momentous and joyous and this celebration of hope. However, I think that for many Christians, this momentous, joyous celebration often falls kind of flat. And I think the reason it falls flat is because for many of us, we haven't made that journey with Jesus to Jerusalem. You know, that's why since its earliest days, Christians have in one fashion or another taken time to observe and to connect themselves with the rhythms and the patterns of death and rebirth through the observance and practice of Lent. That's right, Lent. So, you know, which for many Christians, by the way, Lent has become more of an act of tradition rather than an act of the heart, you know? You see, I think for a lot of us, when we talk about Lent or we think about Lent, we immediately think of long and boring church services. We think about feeling guilty. We think about figuring out, you know, what am I going to stop doing for 40 days? That seems like a drag, you know, eating lots of fish and you know, this seeing it as this season that's just kind of boring. And I totally get that. I have felt the same way before, but here's the thing: as I've learned, as many of us have learned over the years, this is not at all what the true spirit of Lent is about. In fact, you know, the word Lent actually comes from a Middle English word that means spring. Spring. Remember spring? You know what spring is, right? Oh man! Thank God for the sunshine we've been having, right? And a little bit warmer temps, right? Well, listen. Here's the thing. One of the things we all know is that you cannot have spring without first experiencing winter. Think about it. That is not rocket science. That is just science. That is nature, right? One of the things we all know is you cannot have spring without first experiencing winter. And that's part of the reason spring is so welcomed and celebrated when it arrives, right? I mean, because we've been sitting in the dead of winter for what feels like years, right? I mean, this is why, you know, when the temperatures start getting a little bit warmer, you start seeing people like wearing shorts, even though it's like 45 or 50 degrees outside, right? I mean, and it's also, though, what makes the observance of Lent so powerful. Because it allows us to slow down, to descend, and to journey into the cold, dark winter, so to speak. Listen, these 40 days of Lent, they're based on the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness after his baptism. And so in many ways, Lent is about taking this intentional journey into the wilderness, you know, into a place of reflection, of tension, of vulnerability, of struggle. And I'll tell you what, those things at times can feel like death. Right, but in some way they have to be felt, right? They have to be experienced if we truly want to know and experience the beauty and the victory of resurrection. And see, I think that's part of the reason why for us in the Orchard community, Lent is always this very special season. You know, it's a time when we can intentionally find ways to slow down, to sober up, to shift our pace, to take a good and honest look at the condition of our lives, and to even consider letting go or putting aside those things that are no longer serving us well, and to open ourselves to whatever newness and rebirth and resurrection God may want to surprise us with. Listen, Lent can be such a powerful experience for us if we let it. You know, the challenge, I think, for so many of us is, and I'm as guilty as the next person, right, is we want new life, we want resurrection, but we don't want to have to walk the path of death. This is part of the reason the church takes time to even spread ashes on the foreheads of Christians on that day known as Ash Wednesday, which we do every year. We'll be doing it this coming Wednesday, which I'll talk more about in a minute. But speaking of ashes, listen, one of the stories that often comes to mind this time of the year is that fairy tale story of Cinderella. Now, if you know the story, you'll know that her sisters, whew, they were nasty, by the way, weren't they? They were nasty. They were really mean. Her sisters did everything imaginable to hurt her, right? They made fun of her. They humiliated her. They made life hard for her. They scattered peas and lentils into the ashes for her, so she had to sit and pick them up off of the ground. And in the evening, after she had worked herself weary because there was no bed for her, she would instead sleep by the hearth in the ashes. And so, because she always looked dusty and dirty, they called her Cinderella, which means the young girl who sits in the cinders, who sits in the ashes. Friends, Lent is an opportunity for us in some way to sit in the ashes, to spend our time like Cinderella, working and sitting among the cinders of the fire, grieving what needs to be grieved, refraining from the banquet just for a bit, refusing to do business as usual, and just waiting. while some kind of silent growth takes place within us. Well, dear Lord, Scott, this sounds like kind of depressing. Well, I know, but here's the thing, man. When you understand what this is really about, it's not at all. Because this is actually about waking up. This is actually about being present. This is about freedom. This is about reinvention of the best parts of our lives. This is about experiencing resurrection and new life. And friends, that is not depressing. I'll tell you what is depressing. What is depressing is being asleep and being unaware and being disconnected. What's depressing is living as someone or something that you were never meant to live as. So, with all this in mind, I want to leave you with three words today. These are words that I think represent much of what this season of Lent is all about. All right, so if you have something to write on, write these down or just take a screenshot or whatever. The first one is this. The first word is this: examine. Examine. So Lent is a time for us to reflect on and to examine our lives, to take an honest look at our hearts. Now, I realize this word examine, probably I could have come up with a better word because the word examine does not carry such positive connotations, right? I've never heard anyone being excited about being examined, right? No one's ever like, man, I can't wait to get to my doctor appointment tomorrow. That examination's going to be awesome. Whew! You know, I can't wait to put that gown on and however that's even done, right? And get poked and prodded and stuck and all. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait. Listen. And I get it because, look, being examined usually involves a stranger getting close to some very private parts of our bodies and our lives, right? And so it is this extremely vulnerable position to be in. Well, thankfully, the examination we're talking about during Lent is not one of those kinds of examinations. No, it's not one where we invite a complete stranger in to participate in. No. Listen, during Lent, we invite the presence of a God who loves us unconditionally just as we are, not as we should be. So this is not, and I know a lot of us who grew up in church, we know what this feeling is like, but it is not, God, show me what I need to see so I can feel really guilty and ashamed, or so that you can judge me and humiliate me and make me feel like crap. No. This is about, God, show me what I need to see so that I can be free. Examine my heart so that I can continue becoming the person that you've created me to be. Now, here's a quick question, examination question that might help you get started on this path to examination. Here it is. How do I avoid facing the pain and difficulties in my life through behaviors that are not a true source of comfort? Let me say that again. How do I avoid facing the pain and difficulties in my life through behaviors that are not a true source of comfort? Now, it's no secret. We all have habits. We all have behaviors. We have other things we tend to turn to help soothe, distract ourselves, etc., from having to face the pain in our lives. I mean, those of you who know the Enneagram, we're doing an Enneagram series coming up. I am an Enneagram 7. Enneagram 7s are pros at this, right? We are really good at soothing and distracting so we don't have to face pain. So spending some time reflecting on questions like this can actually help us identify things in our lives that we ought to put aside or lay aside or subtract from our lives. That's the second word, subtract. Subtract. So as you think back to that question, what are the things that I tend to turn to as a way to distract myself or numb myself from my pain? See, often I think when we think about things like this, we think about those things that are a lot of times those real obvious things that are really like not good for us, or that are really unhealthy, etc. And perhaps there are those things that you need to consider subtracting. But there are also those things that we turn to that while they may not look as bad or unhealthy on the surface, are really no different in the sense that we still use those things to help numb us and distract us from facing the difficult and painful parts of our lives. So Lent is a time where we can subtract those things from our lives that we are so quick to turn to. So who knows? It may be for some of us, it might be, you know what? I'm going to chill out on the Netflix for a while. I'm going to put down TikTok and social media, Facebook, Instagram, whatever, for a season. I'm going to, or maybe it's certain foods or video games or technology or alcohol or weed or whatever. It could be anything. I mean, it can even be those things that seem good for you. You know, I mean, working out is a great example. Working out is a good thing, but even that can be used as a way of avoiding or distracting or numbing yourself from those things that God wants you to pay attention to. So, you know, I'm definitely going to stop working out. That's really important. Oh, you have to start working out if you're going to stop working out. Ah, gotcha. Anyway, perhaps these 40 days of Lent should be a time to subtract, simplify some things in your life. There's even value in putting down or fasting from things you consider to be gifts or blessings in your life. In her book, God for Us, Beth Bevis says this. This is a great quote. The restrictions imposed by a Lenten fast seek not to deny the goodness of the many blessings we enjoy in this life, but rather to remind us that they are, in fact, gifts. Oh, I love that. Man, there are all kinds of gifts that we take for granted. We've gotten so used to that we no longer even see them as gifts. Friends, Lent is a good time to take a break from enjoying some of those gifts, not because they're bad, but because the exact opposite, because of how good and beautiful of a gift they actually are. I hope you're following me. Lent is a time for us to examine, to subtract. And here's a third word. It can also be a time for us to add. ADD. always a good time for me to ADD, right? Listen, Lent is not just a time to subtract or to put down. It may also be a season to add or to pick up some things that will help you get quiet, to slow down and listen. So for some of you, the best thing you could do during this Lenten season is to add some kind of contemplative practice to your day. So things like prayer, meditation, silence, journaling. Really, really any contemplative practice when it's done well, even if it's just 10, 15, 20 minutes a day, can help wake us up and move us into a greater place of awareness. You know, for some of you, it could benefit you to spend time during Lent reading a great Lenten devotional or book, or taking nature walks, taking naps, resting, or even creating. I mean, imagine creating something new each day during Lent, drawing, sketching, painting something each day, or you could even create a collage that you add to each day during Lent. In the next few days, we're going to be posting some Lenten resources on our Facebook page, and they're going to include some contemplative practices, some scripture readings, books, film recommendations, etc. I highly encourage you to take advantage of that link, and it might even be available at this moment. If it is, there'll be a link on your computer screen, TV screen, whatever. But anyway, listen. One of the most powerful and sobering ways to begin the season of Lent is by taking time to experience and to embrace the ashes that are placed on our foreheads on Ash Wednesday. And so if you are in the Aurora area, I'd love to invite you to our Ash Wednesday experience coming up this coming Wednesday. Actually, it's on Valentine's Day. Isn't that something? Get ashed and then go on a date. I don't know. go get ashed and then order one of those heart-shaped pizzas from Lou Malnati's or something. I don't know. Anyway, our Ash Wednesday experience is coming up this coming Wednesday, February 14th, anytime between 5 and 7 p.m. You can stop by Society 57, and there'll be a couple of stations for reflection, and then, of course, the placement of ashes. It's always a really special time. And I hope you'll come out. Again, that's this Wednesday, February 14th, anytime between 5 and 7 p.m. at Society 57 in downtown Aurora. Would love to have you. It's a short experience. I mean, you can spend as little or as much time as you want. But please feel free and plan to join us. I've said a lot today, but I really want to encourage us, Orchard, to see these next 40 days as an exciting opportunity, as a great adventure, as a season to anticipate, as opposed to a season of dread or just something to gloss over. Listen, I know some of you have been sitting in the dead of winter for a long time. And you desperately need a different kind of Easter this year. And I pray that you will. And so as we prepare to embark with Jesus on this journey to Jerusalem, I want to encourage you with the words of that ancient hymn found in the book of Timothy, chapter 2. It goes like this. If you die with him, you shall also live with him. If you endure, you shall also reign with him. Amen. Would you take a moment and would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God of all seasons, God of both feasting and fasting, you guide us through the letting goes, those new beginnings of our lives. We confess our weakness in doing this well. And so we ask that you would give us courage to examine our hearts and lives. We ask that you would give us wisdom in what we may need to subtract or let go of in our lives, but also what you may be nudging us to add into our lives over these next few weeks. May we remember that even when the ground beneath us feels cold and dead and frozen, that there is new life emerging in the midst of it. Spring will arrive, and new life will come. We pray these things, and we ask them now in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Scott, thank you so much for your words, your wisdom. We receive that today. Friends, thank you for joining us today. It's been a great time just to be together in this space. Hope your week is great. A couple things before we depart. Just I wanted to remind you, we're starting a brand new series next week about the Enneagram. It's called Me, Myself, and Why. And the Enneagram is just an incredibly powerful tool of self-knowledge. And so we do this so during the season of Lent, which is a season of introspection, going inward, to observe how we operate, who we are, and how we work together. And so we hope that you'll join us, whether on the podcast, the digital liturgy, or perhaps at a table gathering. And if you'd like more information about connecting with a table gathering or possibly even starting one in your own community, if there's not one, go to theorchardcommunity.com/tables to learn more. I will say also a thank you for those of you who continue to support the work of The Orchard. It's really important work that we're doing, that we think that we're holding this space, this kind of third way thinking space in our culture right now that feels very needed in such a divided, divisive world. If you would like to contribute to help us continue the work that we are doing, you can do so at theorchardcommunity.com/give. If you're watching this online, there'll be a little link in the chat. But we really appreciate that. We really appreciate your contribution to making this effort work, because we are 100% independently funded. We depend on our sources like you to help keep this work going. So if you have benefited from this or you believe in it, share it with a friend and share whatever resources that you can as you're able. So thank you, friends, for that. I'm going to leave you with just a few words of that prayer that we prayed earlier about the Transfiguration as a blessing here, just the end of it here. As we descend from this sacred mountain, let us do so with grace and purpose, knowing that we are forever changed by this encounter with the divine. May the blessings of Transfiguration be upon us all, now and forevermore. Amen. Peace and light, friends. We'll see you next week.